the opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, what should we melt down on first? The quarterback for the Texans or the coach that left UH? So much to get to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman. The role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. We've been gone for a while.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to everybody. Let's have some fun today, man. No shortage of things to talk about.
No, we are loaded.
We could probably do an entire show on just the Texans. We could do an entire show on Tom Herman and going to Texas.
But there's only one show to be done. There's only one show to be done.
Well, fortunately,
we're going to have to make it work.
We'll get as much in as we can today. And we'll obviously hit on some of these things farther along as we go along in the week, too, because they'll hold up. People will still be interested. How was your break, my friend?
Not too shabby, man. Not too shabby. I got fat. About 2 weeks ago, I think I either dislocated or broke one of my ribs, like my small ribs. So I was really struggling at training, and anytime I'd get, you know, lightly hit, or sometimes even when I wouldn't get hit, or it was just miserable. And so I said, I'm going to take a week off. And then I took that week off, and that went into Thanksgiving week. I also took that week off, so I took 2 weeks off from training.
Yeah.
And today I almost died.
Well, at least you're back.
Yeah,
I'm back. It doesn't take you long to get,
I've got some pounds to lose, but yeah. And it was great because, man, I've been struggling on my bets, particularly college basketball, which is usually like my get-right game. And I was struggling with early season stuff, and since we left work on Wednesday, I was 17-4 over the break.
Nice.
Between NFL, college basketball, and college football. 11-3 in college basketball, which brought me all the way back up to 500 for the season. So you would think I'd be like, oh, way ahead. No, I'm back to 500. But it was a good week. There was good football to be watched. There was some good basketball played if you're into that. It was just a good time, man. Good time, good food, good games. I'm a happy man.
Yeah, I had a blast. Although I came down here Thursday morning to do the turkey trot run that they do down here,
yeah,
at 10K. I got to tell you, the people who are working in this building at 7 a.m. on a Thursday morning, on a Thanksgiving morning.
Right.
Where do we get these guys? I mean, some really creepy individuals in here. Because actually the wife had never seen the studios and we had a little time. So I was just kind of showing her around. And it's like, who are these people working with you? It's like, I have no idea. I haven't seen any of them. I don't know who they are. But, yeah, my betting didn't go as – I was like 2-3-2 on the ones they gave out. And the killer was the damn Grey Cup last night. I had Calgary -9.5. I thought they were just going to crush them.
Well, that was a championship game?
That was a championship game. It was the last one. And this was this historically good team that had the second best regular season record of all time. They were something like 16-3 against the spread going into the game.
And they lost?
They lost in overtime, and ooh, they were 9.5-point favorites, so I had hit them hard. The only thing that saved me, I get to halftime, and a friend of mine texted me, hey, do you like Calgary in the second half when they're down like 17?
Of course.
Like, oh, you know what? I hadn't even thought of that. So I unloaded everything left on my account on them to cover in the second half, and they wound up losing in overtime. So that worked out, but still a pretty good run the last 2 weeks because I went 9-3 last week, and so it wasn't too bad this week. It just wasn't good, but had fun. Had a great weekend, spent some time with my kids, and drank some great beer. I went and got what was left that was picked over after Black Friday at Specs, and still found a few good beers.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, and just Watched a lot of football. I was going to try to stay completely off social media until I posted my Texans gamer on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the Tom Herman thing happened, and I had to write about that. So other than that, I did a real good job of staying off social media. I'm very proud of myself.
Good for you.
Now I'm back.
I usually get on social media to give people plays, and then the Tom Herman thing happened, and obviously a lot of people wanted to talk to me about that. I ended up doing radio hits on Friday, and I was like, who's doing a show on Friday? Like,
yeah.
What are you guys doing? Either way, it was a good weekend, man.
A lot of stuff happened, obviously, and I didn't respond at all to the LSU rumor because I was pretty sure, and this is exactly what it turned out to be, is Herman's agents were using that to get Texas to make a decision, basically.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. And not shocked by that at all, but that they're just doing their jobs. And they got the deal they wanted, and he got the job he wanted. So, I'll be curious to see what Ed Orgeron does there. I think he deserves at least a chance. And
from what I understand, they wanted Jimbo Fisher, and Jimbo Fisher made his price point to like at a number that
wanted a lottery ticket.
LSU was like, no, we're going to pass on that. Which I don't blame him. I mean, you got to think, you know, the guy's got a pretty good job where he's at. He doesn't need to leave. So if you say, well, if you're going to make me leave, you got to wow me. And it was something like $70 million, I heard. If that's the case, you know, if LSU said no, I don't blame him for saying no. I don't think much of Ed Orgeron. I've said that to you before. Maybe he'll succeed there, though. Maybe I'm wrong on him.
Maybe it's the right fit.
Yeah, maybe it is.
If he gets the right assistance, and we know he can recruit. I don't know. I think he's probably earned a shot. I don't know that he's earned a long-term shot. If they go 7-5 next year, I'd lop his head off.
Oh, yeah,
but we'll
that's
see.
The thing. You're not gonna have to pay that dude $70 million,
right?
You know? So that's the good side of it. The bad side is you didn't get the guy any of the guys you really wanted. You know, if they really wanted Ed Orgeron, they wouldn't have been looking at Tom Herman and Jimbo Fisher,
right?
They settled, which I don't think it's the worst thing, but I also don't think that LSU is the kind of team that should be settling. That said, it was clear Tom Herman wanted to be at Texas. I mean, that was where he wanted to go. He waited until basically, and I don't think Texas even knew they were going to fire Charlie Strong until Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
He gave them no other choice, and that's when they made the call, and Tom Herman got the job that he wanted all along, has to tell LSU no thanks. I think that for the most part, everybody walks away happy, with the exception of UH. And
although they shouldn't be, and there's a lot to get to with that, but the reality is, if Texas hadn't opened up, he wasn't taking LSU. He was going to stay here another year.
You think so?
Yeah, and wait for. There was two jobs he wanted all along, and Texas was one of them. And I've heard that from a lot of people, and it makes perfect sense.
I mean, I've said since he got here, if Charlie Strong didn't get his act right. This is the guy that Texas wants him. He wants Texas, and the stars finally aligned and they got each other. So I'll say the same thing I said on social media this weekend. This isn't, I mean, UH fan is salty about it, and I get it. You lost your coach. That sucks. But being the team that has top assistants coming in and out and staying for a couple years and then going on to bigger jobs is so much better than the alternative. It's so much better than being a non. It's so much better. You know whose coach will never leave? Rice.
Yeah.
You want to be that? I mean, they've got a guy that they're comfortable with. He's comfortable with them. Although he may have done himself this year, but I mean, that's a guy who no one's ever going to come take your guy. But you're also going to be in your good years, you're going to be a mediocre football program. UH is at a spot that I think if you're not in a Power 5 conference, it's the best spot. You're the job that everyone wants. Every hot assistant in the country wants to come here, coach for 3 years, and take a bigger job. And then when that guy leads, if he succeeds, and if he does take a bigger job, the next group of assistants is waiting to do the exact same thing, and you're always going to have a hot young coach who's going to bring good recruits here. He's going to, and if you're, I mean, you're going to complain about what Tom Herman's done on the field. You lost four games in the last 2 years. This is what every non-Power 5 program should aspire to be doing. And would it be ideal if there was some coach, like if somebody wanted to be like Gary Patterson, which, by the way, I'll never understand why Gary Patterson is happy at TCU. They must, I mean, I don't know if he's got a secretary that he just bangs constantly.
That's my guess.
Because that guy's had way better job offers. And this was before they were in the Big 12 even, had way better job offers, and he chose to stay there. He is the exception to every rule when it comes to this. Everyone else, bar none, is looking to improve their life. They're looking to improve their coaching life, their coaching career, their money. They're looking to get better. UH has a ceiling. What you can accomplish at UH is capped. And I know that sucks to hear, but you, if you're a real UH fan, you also realize that it's true. It is capped. At the University of Texas, if you win all your games, you have a chance to play for a national championship no matter what anybody else in the country does. There's no, well, if they win all their games and a couple teams lose, they might have a shot at the playoff. No. If you win all your games at Texas, you're in the playoff. You're probably the number one seed. End of discussion.
Well, unless Alabama's undefeated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But that's, I mean, there's not very many places that you can, there's no Power 5 schools that can say that, or non-Power 5 schools that can say that. No group of, is that what they call them, group of five schools? Is that the way to,
yeah,
the
yeah.
proper? There's no group of five schools that say, if we win all our games, ask Western Michigan, if we win all our games, we're guaranteed. No, you're not. If you win all your games and some stuff falls the right way, maybe. But if you win all your games, you might be playing in the Peach Bowl. And if that's your ultimate goal, okay, cool. That wasn't Tom Herman's ultimate goal. So my opinion is, UH fan, get excited about the next hot guy that's coming in. Don't do this thing where you badmouth Tom Herman all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like
that's,
where now
that's
suddenly
silly.
The guy can't coach because he's leaving you. That's the stupid. Well, how good could he be? He lost to Navy and SMU and Memphis. Dude, I mean, the guy won 20-something games in the last 2 years here for your program. You might want to pump the brakes on that. The guy's a good coach. He's a hell of a coach.
I obviously have a lot of thoughts on this, so we'll get to those when we come back next segment. And we'll get to Texans. We'll get to all of it. Just be patient. We got 3 hours.
Yeah, we got to get to that Michigan-Ohio State game and what that means for the rest of the play. I mean, there's so much stuff, guys. I probably will tell zero jokes about penises or anything today. I'm not going to have time. Listen, law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you, a lot of things you should know about those tests. They're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The police breath test machine isn't even warranted fit for breath testing. It makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. It can't positively identify alcohol from other substances, and it can be easily contaminated. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests, and he's experienced in telling the truth to juries in a trial setting. A lot of lawyers take DWI cases. Very few have trial experience. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. It's a scene about me. There's something in your way, and now someone is gonna pay. And if you can't get what you want.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN.
You got to fill out like a whole credit application to get your prostate checked around here.
I already did that. So, that's coming up next week. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, but thanks to everyone who donated, by the way, Movember.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. I assume we got more donations than everybody else?
I'm almost certain. I mean, we're over $2,000. thanks to the generosity of our fine listening audience.
Just want to see us be violated.
Yeah. I mean, please, if you got $5-$10 to spare, we'd like to make a push down the stretch here. Movember.com, look for Gal Media, and of course, pick our team. Don't give it to any of those other guys. They're jerks.
I have a lot of thoughts on this on the whole Tom Herman thing for a lot of reasons, and I think we could agree that I'm about as UH as anybody around here. And I'm happy for the guy, and mainly because I know this has been a destination job for him. It's been something he wanted, and he did a lot of great stuff here at UH. And frankly, I get that that's what UH is, and that's what it's going to be, but they're in a good spot. And I think it's the best non-Power 5 job out there, excluding the independents in BYU and Notre Dame.
I think it's right. I would put it right there with Boise.
I think they've passed Boise, frankly. And I think those are the only programs, I think BYU, Houston, Boise, where if you do run the table, you're going to have a good enough schedule out of conference to where you will be in that conversation. And this year, I think, would have been – they definitely would have been in the conversation if they had won all the games.
I agree.
But the reality is, I don't think you can say that about Western Michigan or Memphis or any of those other schools. Either. And if I'm the AAC, if I'm thinking big, go try to head BYU and Boise and San Diego State. I think that would, an Air Force, go to 16 teams. I think that would make your conference, competitive as a power 5.5, if you will. But as far as UH goes, it's better than a lot of Power 5 jobs. That's why you got guys like Sonny Dykes inquiring about it. And I think that's – you're going to have your choice. I trust the people over there, Dr. Couture and Hunter Yurecek, and having Tillman Fertitta involved is great. They're going to get a really good coach, and they're going to get a really good coaching staff. They can pay assistants a lot of money. And, 3 years from now, you'll probably be going through the same thing. But what you hope is that you get another Tom Herman, you get another Art Briles, you get another Kevin Sumlin. And even Tony Levine, if you look at his
record. That guy won 9 games here and got fired. He was a decent coach.
And he recruited like a fiend, because let's not lose sight of the fact that those players that Herman was winning with, Tony Levine recruited in the end of the Sumlin era. Yeah. So Tyus Bowser, I mean, there's a lot of good players there. So the sky's not falling, and I don't understand this, he betrayed us. No, he didn't. The thing is, you get into the team because of the players, you get into the team because of the coach, and he did a great job of promoting the university and making people feel like they were part of it. And I think that's why you've got a segment out there that's acting all betrayed. But the reality is, it's not like he would have left for – it's like I've been telling you guys all year, he's not going to leave for just any job.
Right.
He can afford to sit here and wait for the right one. This is the right one.
What's funny is the reports are out now that he had basically accepted the South Carolina job last year and then backed out on it. Which the best thing he could have ever done. And you and I both said last year, we think he's smarter than that, than to take that job, because it's a total mess. But apparently he was very interested in it.
I think part of that was his agents had deep conversations with him. And basically, the thing you try to do in these situations is you don't have the conversation, right? Your agent has
the
conversation. And you talk to your agent. That way you can say, no, I haven't talked to anybody.
That's what you want
to do. And I think they put together a real good deal for him there. And on the surface, it looked really good.
But then they lost to the Citadel, and he realized, this isn't the spot for me. Which was wise.
Yeah.
Because now he's in a way better position. Here's the other thing to think about. And this is why I tell UH fan, don't be so upset about this. If UH hadn't sent Art Briles and Kevin Sumlin off to better jobs, Tom Herman would have never taken this job to begin with. Because if it weren't for those guys coming here and building the program up to what it is and leaving for better jobs, Tom Herman wouldn't have left Ohio State to come coach at UH. He wouldn't have. He could have had, if he wanted to coach at South Carolina, he could have left straight from being the assistant coach at Ohio State and gotten that job. He was the hottest assistant in the country. He'd worked under Urban Meyer. Everyone was enamored with him.
Yeah.
He could have had a lot of jobs, but he decided to come here because he wanted to get not a good job. He wanted to get a great job. And he's seen that. I mean, Kevin Sumlin went from UH to a great job. Art Briles, when he left, I mean, UH was not what they are now, and Baylor was not what it is now. So it was a little bit different scenario because it was who's leaving to Baylor?
He made Baylor, and at the time, Baylor had a ridiculous amount of money. They just wrote a big check. And UH wasn't at that place yet where they could afford to do that. They can now. They could have matched that offer. Wasn't going to matter. And I don't know that it would have been a good idea to match a $5 million plus coaching.
No.
I mean, you don't need that. But when he took the job, a lot of people ask about potential replacements. I'm going to throw the names out there that Joseph Duarte tweeted out and that are possibilities. You tell me what you think, and then I'm going to tell you two guys that are not on this list.
Well, does he mention the two coordinators? Because
he does.
That's the first guys that I would be contacting if I'm UH.
Yeah, both Major and Todd are considered candidates.
And I would guess if neither takes that job, they'll both go with Herman.
I don't know if Major can go back to Texas. He's involved in a lawsuit there.
He is. I guess that is sort of an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's just I don't know, but very awkward.
Let me give you another sad reality. Todd Orlando may want to go to UH, or he may rather be the defensive coordinator at UT than go to UH because that's another quick path to a big job. And the coordinators at UT make ridiculous money. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure UH would offer a big check, but are they going to want to write a big check for a guy who's never been a head coach? I don't know.
If they decide he's the right guy, they will. And
give me the rest of the list.
It's always better to try to prove you can be a head coach. Sonny Dykes from Cal.
It wouldn't shock me, but that's also a guy who's coming off a pretty subpar season. And the only reason he'll be available is if he gets fired.
I wanted him when they hired Tony Levine. That was a guy I wanted at the time. But he's got a lot more ties here. But
the bloom is sort of off that guy,
though. Yeah, and although, again, I think from a talent standpoint, you can get more talent at UH than you can at Cal versus what you're up against. So
I think it's about even.
But, I mean, that not what I'm saying is.
Because I think Cal in the pecking order on the West Coast.
Never going to be USC. They're never going to be Oregon. That's my point. In this conference, UH is the USC.
Right, in this conference, but also, I mean, how many power five, how many five-star prospects chose a non-power five? I mean, there's one, right?
Yeah.
Ed Oliver was the one that didn't go to a power five school. It's a lot easier to get big talent at power five teams.
It is, but not, I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm talking about comparatively speaking versus your competition.
Okay, I agree
with
that.
You're going to have a lot more talent here than you're going to have at Cal versus USC. And you may have more five stars, but I'm talking about what they're doing.
Yeah. Compared to the conference, yes. Right. I was thinking UH is behind Texas and Texas A&M. You know, there's a pecking order in this state just like there is in that one.
Right.
But most of the teams that are in that pecking order out west are all in that same conference. So it is a different situation.
Right. Dino Babers, Syracuse.
I think he sucks.
He just gave up 70 points to Pitt.
I don't know why he's on a list.
Scratch that name off. Phillip Montgomery at Tulsa.
I don't think that's a bad one.
Mike Leach is a wild card.
I don't think he'll leave. I think he's in a pretty good spot right now.
I think he is, but I think he wants to get back to Texas. So
maybe. I think he's happy there, and that's the kind of place. Washington State is so much like Texas Tech in that it's in the middle of nowhere. No one's going to jack with you. If you're even remotely competitive, they're happy. That's what Mike Leach loved at Texas Tech was if there was a season where they only won 7 or 8 games, no one was calling for his head. That's what he loves. That's what he craves. And I think he basically got the West Coast Texas Tech.
Well, rumor is he has inquired. There's also going to – Duarte also says there's a faction that's going to ask to bring back Briles. I hope to God that doesn't happen.
I will come on this radio show every day and take a crap on UH if they hire Art Briles. I will do it every day until David Gao is forced to fire me. Because there is no way you can in good conscience bring that guy, give him money, and put him in charge of another football program.
I
understand he wins games. Don't do it.
I would be totally out on the university if that happened. And then the two names that he didn't list that I sure hope they're in touch with. One I've mentioned all year is Jeff Brohm at Western Kentucky. I think that's a guy who is on the right career path. And eventually he'll leave to go to Louisville when Petrino goes somewhere else.
Yep.
But I love what that guy has done at Western Kentucky. And I think the offense he would bring here would be really exciting. And then I think they ought to make a call to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. The offensive coordinator up there. That's another good name. It's a young up-and-coming coach. And, you know, that Oklahoma pipeline generally works pretty well.
That's not a bad one to be involved in.
So those are two guys that he didn't list that I hope they're talking to at some point. So
What about you know, I don't know if it, like Brian Harsin, does that do anything for you?
No.
PJ Fleck's kind of the big name.
Well, but
I think he's going to end up at like Cincinnati.
Well, he's a Midwest guy, and yeah. I think he wants to stay in the Midwest.
I think he'll end up at Cincinnati or Purdue.
Yeah.
It's a good job for him. Yeah, I wonder who's out there that is, A, willing to leave and feels like, you know, they're in a they'd be getting to a better spot. I mean, because there's a lot of good assistants out there. And, it you know, a lot of the guys you mentioned are current head coaches.
Right.
But there's also a lot of good assistants out there. Like Jeff Collins at Florida, the defensive coordinator at Florida. That's a guy that people are high on. Mario Cristobal at Alabama. I don't know if this is the kind of job he's looking to take, but that's a guy that you should be making a call to. Here's another guy. Luke Fickell at Ohio State, where you just dipped your hand into that honeypot and it worked. Maybe go look at that guy. See if he's interested in it. You know, you mentioned Lincoln Riley. Greg Schiano is another guy at Ohio State if you want to go to the other side. I think there's a lot of coaches out there. And another guy that I'll never understand why it hasn't worked out for him. It just hasn't lined up. But Brent Venables has been successful at a lot of places. And for some reason,
I wonder if he doesn't have a little Kirby Smart disease, though, where it's people just see him as a coordinator.
It's very funny because he's like he's been successful everywhere. He's very consistent. He's like one of those fiery, intense guys. I think he'd do great recruiting. But no one's ever offered him or at least he's never taken a job. Now, he did say if he would they asked him about the Kansas State job, and he was like, no, thanks. I'm not looking to work. Like, not looking to take on such a big project.
Right.
But, and I don't know if he would consider this that. But
really isn't. This is, you're walking into a team that's going to be the most talented in the conference next year. You've got two really good quarterback prospects. This is a very good opportunity for somebody. And then,
you've got some good talent here.
A couple of names that people have thrown out, and then we'll go to break. But Lane Kiffin, no. I hope to God they don't hire him. And I don't think, a lot of people ask, what about Charlie Strong? I don't think you hire a coach who couldn't succeed in the state.
I think it'd be very difficult for him to succeed in living rooms right now.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a bad look. I like Charlie. I think he's a good coach, but he needs to go back to, he needs to go back to someplace somewhere else outside of Texas. And it's just really hard for guys like that when they fail at a big job like that to continue to succeed in the same state.
Yeah.
And somebody, apparently, and Dana Holgerson's name has come up a couple times as being interested. I don't think he would leave either. If he would, I would make that hire in a heartbeat, but I don't think he'll leave West Virginia. I don't know. It's one of the things. He likes Texas. So
yeah.
We shall see.
But, I mean, no offense. I think that's a step back in job. I think that you're in a Power 5 conference. I mean, hell, would they lose 2-3 games there this year? I mean,
you know what, though? I mean, I think you look at that team, and all year long we talked about it. Why are they rated lower than Baylor? Why are they ranked lower than everybody else? I don't know that.
Well, it's also because they had a nonsensical power or a non-conference schedule. Like they did what?
No, they didn't.
What Baylor does.
West Virginia they had a pretty good schedule. BYU.
Oh, that's true.
They had somebody else on there that was pretty good. I think Missouri. Yeah, they had a good schedule. It's just nobody ever paid any attention to them. And I just wonder if that's one too where what the hell do you have to do at a school like that to get attention from the polls?
Yeah.
So.
All right, I got to tell you about Deep South Barrels so John doesn't say it in my ear one more time, because otherwise I'm going to lose my mind. DeepSouthBarrels.com, promo code Hoffman will save you 10%. It's the holiday time. You want to get a gift. You're trying to think, what's the kind of gift I could get for, there's guys who they're very hard to shop for. But listen, one of these customized barrels from Deep South Barrels is an easy gift for whoever the drinker is in your life. And right now, if you order today, it's the last day to submit your orders to get them by Christmas. If you want a customized barrel, you need to get in that order today. December 4th, if you want a blank barrel, if you want that to be shipped before Christmas, you need to get one done by then. But today is the last day to get custom barrels ordered. These personal size aging barrels, it basically expedites the process of creating a smooth spirit. It removes the impurities from your house liquor, your crappy liquor. The oak wood soaks all that up, and it takes less than 28 days, less than a month, and you've got a fantastic smooth booze. They are the nation's premier supplier of miniature American oak customizable barrels, and they are local right here in Pearland, Texas. These are good people with a good product. You want to work with them. DeepSouthBarrels.com. Remember to use my promo code Hoffman to save 10% off your entire order. And make sure if you want a custom barrel for Christmas, you get that order in today. It's the last day to do it. Deep South Barrels, DeepSouthBarrels.com, promo code Hoffman.
ESPN 97.5.
Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
All right, let's squeeze on a couple phone calls here because people want to weigh in. We'll start with Bats. Been on hold for a while, very patient. What's up, Bats?
Sports, guys. What's going on?
Sports to you, man.
All right. Well, since we've been talking about the UT job these last few segments, I'll start with that. First and foremost, man, I'm happy for the guy. He's done a hell of a job, and I think he deserves a big job. But I think with that being said, going to UT, it takes more than you just being a good coach. I think you also have to be a hell of a politician, and I don't know if he's ready for that because it's so much more that goes with that job than the X's and O's on the field. So I hope he's prepared for that. I would have looked at a guy, and I know this is probably the only reason why they didn't go for this guy, but I would have looked at a guy that's more seasoned, that has probably been at a, you know, a big time program, not like UT, but sort of like UT, like a Bobby Petrino. But again, I understand that his indiscretion probably hurt his chances at a big school like that. So I just hope Herman does well, man, because the underbelly at UT is it's a dirty game. And then secondly, as much as I really want to call in today and tell AJ, you know what, AJ, I know this is what you know, my Texas, but he always proved to be right, man. And I just hate that he's right. I hate that I cannot criticize AJ for the things he said about my Texans, because as much as he bashes them, as much as he says the things, and most of it is true, but the Texans fans don't want to hear it, I sure wanted to call in and just put it in his face. But AJ, man, I got to give it to you. He was right. My Texans suck right now. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we're in first place, but we're talking about a product that is on the field that is not living up to what the talent is, and it's going to catch up with us in the playoffs, man. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys, man.
All right, yeah, thank you.
We haven't gotten to the Texans yet, but it may not catch up to them in the playoffs because they may not make the playoffs.
They might not.
We'll get to that. I want to get one more call in. Travis. What's up, Travis?
Hey, guys. Sports,
hey, sports to you.
I was going to talk about Charlie Strong would be a good candidate, but I'm with you, man. The Texans suck. DeAndre Hopkins, I'm glad he didn't sign a contract extension. Hell, let him go to some place that will get him the ball. They are totally wasting him.
Yeah, he's wasting himself. He's playing like crap. I get real tired of the whole, oh, they need somebody who can throw him the ball. Yeah, they don't have a quarterback worth a damn. They haven't had a quarterback for 2 years. But last year, if there was a ball that was about to get intercepted, he got in there and fought for it.
A lot of it is frustration.
I think he's frustrated, but it's probably with his contract too. But let's stop acting like this guy's playing well, because he's not. A lot of this is on him. He's not getting separation, and when they try to force the ball to him, he's not fighting for it. I don't like the way the guy's playing, and he needs to get his head out of his butt too.
But man, I felt bad for our boy Quentin, horrible game.
He got faked out of his jock on that play.
On a couple plays, he struggled, so that was rough. But I mean, if that's what people want to talk about as a Texans, we can move on to that.
Because there's a lot to get to, because I, honestly, AJ, at what point, I don't think you do it yet, but I think you need to start having the conversation about when you might actually make a move at quarterback. I don't think it's ridiculous to bring that up right now.
Well, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you bring it up right now?
My personal opinion is, well, I think we have to go to break here because it's a short segment. That'll radio tease. I'll tell you when they should do it when we come back. How's that? Sound good?
That sounds good.
All right.
All right, guys. I'm going to tell you about my computer career. If you want a career with great income potential and job security, listen up. IT, it's a constant high-growth sector. If you like working or playing with computers, a career in IT could be right for you. And for you career changers, there's one place to check out, mycomputercareer.edu. Houston, it's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. Companies hiring IT guys all over the city. But to get the job, you got to have the skills and certification. And the place to go to get those skills, mycomputercareer.edu. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry by partnering with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Most students start their first job in just a few months. You'll attend classes only twice a week, on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. And at My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill, which is great. It's a great program for veterans. Get in there, guys. Why wait? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today and find out if an IT career is right for you. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation today. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back. Movember is an annual event involving the growth of mustaches during the month of November to raise awareness of various cancers, such as prostate cancer. Here at Gal Media, we've joined the movement for men's health and are collecting donations to stop men dying too young. Two more days of this. Please help us in this journey. Log on to ESPN975.com. Go to our Movember page and support AJ Hoffman with a donation to his team. And appreciate everybody who's donated. It's a great cause, and you guys have really stepped up. And once again, I'm always blown away by the Blitzers. All right, I told you, here's where I make the move. If this guy goes in against that Green Bay defense and sucks, I'm pulling him at halftime. That defense is a joke right now. If you can't move the ball against them, and I know it's Lambeau Field and it's going to be cold and wintry and everything else, but if you can't move the ball against those guys, you don't need to be on the field. And I at some point, the guy has to do something. And, yeah, he showed me enough against the Raiders.
You felt good about him?
I felt good about him that game. But how many times have I felt good about him this year?
Not many.
I mean, at the most, twice. At the most.
Yeah, I mean, you probably felt pretty decent after the Bears game.
Yeah. Felt okay after that because we didn't know that he was going to suck for the rest of the year. That's not good enough, though. Two games. I mean, that's being pretty generous, AJ.
Yeah.
And you could feel pretty good about the very end of the Colts game, but even then, I think that was one where they got very lucky to pull that off. If that Colts safety has his head in the right direction, that last pass to Fedorowicz is picked anyway, and we're talking about coming up short.
I think what's amazing is this guy, I mean, this is the NFL in 2016 where it's almost a given that you're gonna put up big numbers as a passer in this league. He's not only not, I mean, he's yet to break 270 yards in a game this season. That's unbelievable to me because, I mean, it's designed for you to do this. The NFL today is designed for passers to put up big numbers, and he refuses to do it. He's just not going to do it.
And it's oversimplifying to say that he's the problem. He's maybe the biggest problem. But defensively, they weren't good yesterday, especially in that drive in the fourth quarter where Rivers just ran right down their throats. And they again blew some big plays in the secondary, which has to be of a concern because this is two games in a row where that's happened. I thought there were some balls that could have been caught by the receivers, but he wasn't accurate the whole game.
No, he threw one like 18 feet over Fedorowicz's head.
The second interception was just... I mean, it was just flabbergasting. And the reality is you watch this guy and he just isn't. If anything, he's getting worse. And I really think if you cannot do something against that Packers defense, you have to make a move. If you don't, your season's going to disappear in a hurry because, frankly, these next two games should be winnable games. I could also, right now, if you made me bet, I'd say they're going to go 0-2.
Yeah.
So they just, and plus the coaching still drives me nuts. Every single time you get the ball, run the ball first down, run the ball second down, throw the ball third down.
Yeah.
Duh.
It's really, I don't know. For again, this is a guy that was sold to us as some sort of offensive mastermind, quarterback whisperer.
But you're not putting your quarterback in a very good position to succeed when you're doing that either. And, yeah, I get that you don't trust him. But fine. Get him a first down play action pass occasionally.
I don't know what to – I mean, I'm with you. I feel like they've reached the point where – and they, I guess when they asked him about it in the postgame presser, he was very emphatic. No, it's not time for Tom Savage. No, we're not even thinking about that. But if you're not thinking about that yet, what's it going to take to get you thinking about it? Because that healthy lead you had on the division is gone. That's history. Now you're fighting for a playoff spot. You are fighting to make the playoffs. And Bill O'Brien's been around this league long enough to know if he continues to get the kind of quarterback play that he's getting, that's not a playoff team. And even if they do find a way to luck box their way into the playoffs with this kind of quarterback play,
they're going to get blown out again.
Hammered.
They're going to get blown out again.
I mean,
at some point today, we may have to wait till tomorrow. We'll go over what the AFC playoff field is looking like.
Is there a team in it that you would say the Texans could beat?
Miami. That's the only one. Because they're the same team.
Yeah.
But there's nobody else. If they played the Chiefs again, I think the Chiefs would destroy them. I think, well, they're 1-3 against AFC West, so I don't think they beat any of those teams. And then even some of the peripheral teams, if the Bills snuck in, do you think they'd beat the Bills?
I don't.
I don't either. If the Ravens or the Steelers make it as a wild card,
they're better than the Texans. This is the other thing. This is what we've kind of got to, you know, this is a harsh reality. But the whole Texans are great on defense. And even now, their defense is pretty good. It's no longer a great defense. And now a lot of that is because their offense is so awful that it's putting too much pressure on them. But it's a good defense. But this isn't like at the beginning of the year, we thought, well, even if the offense sucks, which we knew that there was a possibility that it would suck, you're like, well, they're so good defensively that it's going to make up for a lot of it. And that worked early in the season.
Yeah.
But it's kind of... Well, and defense is starting to taper off. Injuries are starting to pile up.
The injuries are starting to get to him a little bit. Not having John Simon was not good, but that's, and obviously not having J.J. Watt has been
a big factor.
It's got to be an impact. But the reality is, no, they weren't good on defense yesterday, and the score really wasn't indicative of how badly they were beaten.
And now you've got 5 games left. 3 of them are on the road, where you've won one game this year.
At Jacksonville. Woo.
And it didn't do it very convincingly.
No.
And all 3 teams you're going to play on the road, better than Jacksonville. At Green Bay, at Indy, and at Tennessee. At the beginning of the year, you probably would have thought some of those, well, you wouldn't have thought Green Bay, you would have thought Green Bay was tougher than it is. But at Tennessee, you would have probably marked down as a gimme. That's not the case. And I just think that people didn't under... And I think people do this in general with this team. Quarterback play is so important in this league. If you're not... I mean, I understand there's a handful of great quarterbacks in the league, and those teams are almost always going to be in contention. But if you're not even, like, average to above average at quarterback, that position... It doesn't really matter how good the rest of your team is. Look what's happened to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Their defense is better than the Texans. Look what's happening to them because they don't have quarterback play. It's melting. It's melting around them. And it's all over the league. There's teams that – and really, Denver's a good example of that, although last night their quarterback actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
But – I mean, Denver's like the exception to that rule. I can't think of another team that I even consider a contender that doesn't have above-average quarterback play. And the Texans right now are so far from above-average at that position. I mean, they would have to be perfect everywhere else to even compete, and they're not. They're, you know, if DeAndre Hopkins was doing what he did last year, J.J. Watt was on the field, none of those things are happening, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting what you're getting, and Brock Osweiler is not the answer. He's worse than Brian Hoyer. He's worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick was when he was here, and it puts you in a really bad spot, a really bad spot. Is there another – think about this, Fred. Is there another team in the league whose quarterback position you would – I mean, who would you rather – who would you rather have than the – I mean, who's the worst quarterback position? I mean, because they've spent a lot of money on a guy that's there, and they don't really have a backup option in place. I can't think of a worse situation in the league. I mean, maybe the Bears, Cutler's having such a horrible year.
Although, hell, Matt Barkley was better than Osweiler was yesterday.
Yeah. I mean,
Matt Barkley, they should have won that game. He had two drops in the last minute there.
Every other team in the league either has a better quarterback currently playing or has someone waiting in the wings preparing to play that's better than Brock Osweiler. That's crazy. I mean, you can't win. You can't win in this league long term when you're that bad at the quarterback position. And they knew that. They tried to fix it. They swung and missed.
Well, I think coaching has a lot to do with it too.
I don't disagree with that.
They haven't developed anybody.
People give that guy every break in the world, and I don't understand why anymore.
All right, we will go through all the games when we come back. And we'll get to this. There's a lot more to get to here. We'll still get to Ohio State, Michigan, some of the other college football. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.